If you will, look in Luke chapter number 16, and beginning with verse number 23, verses 23 and 24. The Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray that you'll help us from it. I pray that you'll give us the grace that we need to receive your word. And I pray that you will use it in our lives as it be your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Of course, I preached on a request from hell for a missionary. And I've dealt with the memory of a man in hell. Preached a number of messages in the past from about hell. But I want to deal this morning with this subject, hell then, hell now, hell forever. Somebody asked about the rich man. Then, of course, according to the scriptures, in the first part of verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He was in hell then, he is in hell now, he shall be in hell forever. And so I want to deal with that subject, hell then, hell now, and hell forever. Somebody might ask, scoffingly, skeptically, do you really believe in hell? Do you believe that hell shall last forever? Another person might ask sincerely, does the Bible teach that that hell shall last forever? I want to deal with these three basic points. Hell then. Hell then. And so first of all, let's consider hell then. Hell is not eternal. Now, sometimes the word eternal and everlasting may be used interchangeably, but hell is not eternal. God is eternal. And of course, with God there's life, and with God there's light, but hell is not eternal. Hell is everlasting. And hell shall continue on. Matthew chapter number 26, verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." God is eternal, and at some point, God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Now, God did not make angels, and God did not make men to go to hell, but because of sin, because of their rebellion against him, that there was a place prepared for those that did rebel against him, would not receive him. In the case of a man that is lost, in the case of angels, I believe there is no redemption for the angels. But as far as men are concerned, for those that would continue to reject Christ, never accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God prepared a place for them to go. Now, whether or not hell was always in the center of the earth, I'm not sure about that. The scientists, they may speculate about what is in the center of the earth. In fact, here's a quotation from a Johannes Hammerly, and he was listed as an earth scientist at Washington State University. "The very center of the earth is a solid metal ball. Once outside of that ball, there is a thick shell we think is liquid." Now, to be honest with you, they don't know. Like a lot of things that so-called scientists say, they don't know. I've talked about those weather guessers, and the weather guessers, they may come up with their forecasts, and they may talk about how many hurricanes is going to be this year. They don't know. And people make up stuff, and perhaps it makes them seem more intelligent if they can make things up. But there's been some speculation, and I don't think it's wrong necessarily to speculate, but there's been some speculation about what is in the center of the earth. There's been the idea that in the center of the earth there's iron and nickel and sulfur, and that the surface of the core of the earth reached about the temperature of the sun. Now, scientists may make educated guesses, or just guesses, one way or another. They may make guesses about, they may speculate, but I do know something about what is in the earth. The Bible says in the book of Matthew in chapter number 12, verse 40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, I believe that Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. I don't know all about it, but I do believe that Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. Of course, Jesus Christ gave up His Spirit. He was there upon the cross, and He gave up His Spirit. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My Spirit. And this body was put in a tomb. And so where did that Spirit go? And I believe that Spirit went down into paradise. And the Bible, of course, talks about paradise. And the Scripture says about the man, the thief that died on the other cross, the one that did repent, the one that did get saved by the grace of God, that Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. I have no question whatsoever that Jesus Christ went to paradise, and the thief that got right with God went to paradise. And I believe that paradise is in the heart of the earth. Of course, you take what the Scripture says in Matthew 12:40. I believe that paradise is in the heart of the earth. Now, I believe there was Jesus Christ and the thief that had gotten right with God. And I believe as well that there was Noah and Job and David and Solomon and a whole list of others that were there in paradise at that particular time, a multitude of people in paradise. What did Jesus do there? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Notice these words, By which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I believe that Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. And there He preached to the spirits in prison. Now, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, He came to that point in His suffering in which He said, I thirst. I believe that He said, I thirst, so that it would cause someone to bring Him something to take in His mouth. And His mouth was dried. And in fact, you can go to the Psalm 22. I think there's evidence about his tongue. I forget if the wording is cleaved to the roof of His mouth. But still, I believe that He probably had trouble speaking at that point in His suffering. And so I believe He got some vinegar, and not a comforting drink, but He got some vinegar. And using that vinegar, He loosened His tongue. And I imagine Jesus Christ very painfully pulled Himself and pushed Himself up and gathered some breath, then cried out, It is finished. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross was done. But after that, I believe He went down into the heart of the earth, and He preached down there that the work was finished. Now, when He went down there, I believe there was probably on the one side, the paradise side, a great rejoicing. Jesus Christ had come down to paradise. And in addition to that, Jesus Christ had finished the great work of redemption. On the other hand, I believe in hell there's probably great sorrow, great condemnation. Because Jesus Christ came down. Imagine being in hell. In fact, if you think about the people that were there, and we don't know who all was there, but I believe there was a multitude of people there. And imagine there, on the one side in hell, there being the rich man and others. And then on the paradise side, there being Lazarus, and of course Jesus was there, and Job, and so on. But imagine if Jesus Christ was there preaching about the finished work on Calvary. The different people hearing the message and their reaction to the message of Jesus Christ. It is finished. The work has been done. Jesus Christ was there in the center of the earth. In Luke 16, that account, the Bible talks about Abraham and the man in hell communicating one with another. And I believe that even though Jesus Christ... And think about Jesus Christ being down there and there being communication between the sides. In Acts chapter number 2, verse 27, the Bible says, because, this is about Jesus Christ, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And then in Acts chapter number 2 and verse 31, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, the body of Jesus Christ was in the grave. The body of Jesus Christ did not decompose. There was no corruption of the body of Jesus Christ. The soul of Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. Now, I want to make sure that people understand this. You may hear this sometimes. Jesus Christ did not go down into the center of the earth to continue suffering for sin. His work of suffering was done. It was finished. So Jesus Christ did not go down into hell to suffer for sin. You may hear that false idea put forth. I do not believe that. But when Jesus Christ was finished suffering for sin, he did go down into the heart of the earth. Now after that, Jesus Christ ascended from the heart of the earth, rose from the dead. His soul and body reunited. He rose from the dead. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Took the blood of the supreme, the only sufficient sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb of God. The great high priest took his own blood up to the heavenly mercy seat, applied it to the heavenly mercy seat for you and I. Now, after Jesus Christ did that, he descended once again. He stayed on the earth for about 40 years. 40 days. And after about 40 days of being on this earth, he then ascended once again. And I believe when he ascended, he led captivity captive. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit was a great gift that Jesus Christ gave to the church. And that gift gave gifts. The Holy Spirit has given gifts to men in the form of men. And, of course, the Bible talks about the different ones, the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. God gave, the Holy Spirit has given gifts unto the church, gifts of men, and God has also given spiritual gifts to men in this church age. Now, I believe when Jesus Christ went up, he led captivity captive. He led those in paradise up to heaven. Now, you may read about to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul talked about paradise. And I believe the Apostle Paul was the one that actually went to paradise. And by the way, and I dealt with this, I believe, for a radio message not long ago, but if somebody tells you that they died and went to heaven or they died and went to hell, don't believe them. You have a report in the Word of God. You don't need to be taking reports from people that claim they went to heaven or claim they went to hell. Don't expect a loved one to go to heaven and come back and tell you how wonderful it is. And don't expect a loved one to come from hell and tell you how bad it was. You just believe the Word of God. Now, paradise, I believe, was emptied out. And so there was a one side of hell, and there was paradise where the saved were, and there was a great gulf that was fixed that was between. But I believe that paradise was emptied out. And for instance, those saints, Job, for instance, and David, and Lazarus, and we go through a whole list, but I believe that they have all been transported to paradise in heaven. Paradise has been moved. But then there's hell. I find it interesting, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory," now notice this word, "their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Notice the word multitude. I think perhaps at times when there's been a multitude, when the judgment of God has come, when there's been a multitude of people that have died and gone to hell, that hell might have actually enlarged herself. Hell might have enlarged herself when the saints went to paradise. But the Lord tells us about hell enlarging herself. I find it interesting that scientists may say that the center of the earth, the core of the earth, is growing. Well, I don't know about that. Here's one of the things that's interesting. Of course, scientists and speculations and so on. But they may say this, say that. But from what I understand, the Russians, and if this is true, the Russians drilled down 700 and something miles. And they couldn't go but so far. The heat there and so on, they couldn't go but so far. And I might be wrong, but I'm thinking maybe about it's supposed to be about 1,800 miles to the core, and who knows if that's right or not. But we don't really know. But here's one thing that may give us a clue, and that is what does come up from the earth occasionally. And occasionally, there might be a volcano that erupts, and so the lava comes forth from beneath. Now, we don't know all about what's down there, but we might at least look at what comes up from below. And then on top of that, I know what the Bible says. I know some things that the Bible says. And so I believe that there's hell then. And the hell continues right on. Most sinners are Christ rejecting. And as far as most sinners, their bodies are buried upon the earth and their souls go to hell. Here's an interesting passage of Scripture in the book of Numbers. Numbers 16, verses 29 through 33, the Bible tells about a situation where God took care of the burial. I know that God took care of Moses' burial. People did not know where he was put. But then there are these others. In Numbers 16, verses 29 through 33, "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained unto them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." Now I think with these, they may have gone down quick into the pit. In fact, I know they did that. I think they might have actually dropped all the way into hell. But regardless of that, I know this, God took care of the burial. The earth opened up. There were those rebellious men. The earth opened up, swallowed them, and then closed back. Now, somebody might say, "Oh, brother, you really believe that?" Well, yes, I'm a believer. I believe it. God said it, and I believe it. There's another passage or another verse, Psalm 55, verse 15. David prayed, "Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. It's interesting the wording there. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. And of course the Bible tells about who he's speaking of. He's speaking about ones that had taken sweet counsel with him, walked to the house of God in company. They had been friends of David, but they had betrayed David. They had turned against David, and David prayed against them for them to go down quick into hell. Hell then. Then hell now. I believe that hell just continues right on. This is interesting. In the Gospels, of course, we have a number of the usages of the word hell. But when you get past the Gospels, you go between, you start out with Acts. There's the four Gospels, and you start out with Acts. And then you go all the way to Jude, the book right before the book of the Revelation. In those particular books, there is only four uses of the word hell. In those 22 books, there's only four uses of the word hell. Jesus Christ is quoted as using the word hell 16 times. Now, I know there might have been some repetition, and to the writers may have been referring to the same situation, but still, 16 times Jesus Christ used the word hell. But during those 22 books, we've only got four usages of the word hell. That's before the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation, it does tell us something. But still, for 22 books, we only have the four usages. I personally believe that when Jesus Christ was here, that Jesus Christ gave the definitive word on hell. Jesus Christ, the creator of men, the creator Christ, gave facts about hell. Jesus Christ was an eyewitness. When the Bible talks about this rich man that died and went to hell, Jesus Christ, he knew about this situation. He spoke about a certain man that died in hell. He lifted up his eyes. He knew about this. I believe, of course, John chapter number 5, Jesus Christ shall be the judge of all men. The Creator Christ and the judge gave the definitive word, the definite word about hell. And I really don't think, and apparently there wasn't a need for there to be a lot of elaboration on it by the writers of the epistles. Because what needed to be said to a large extent had already been said by Jesus Christ himself. Then we come to the book of the Revelation, and the Bible tells us some things there. Jesus Christ, in fact, you might say Jesus Christ spoke about the terribleness of hell. Hell is so terrible that, you can go to Mark chapter number 9, hell is so terrible if a man had a sinful habit in which he utilized his hand in committing that sin that he commits, it would be better off for him to cut his hand off than to go to hell. If he's utilizing his foot in sin, it'd be better off to cut his foot off. If he's utilizing eyes in sin, it'd be better off for him to pluck his eye out than to go to hell where the fire is not quenched. A man does not have to pull his eye out or cut his foot off, cut his hand off to go to heaven. That's not the point. But I believe the point was to show the severity of hell. Terror is a terrible place. Now, there's hell then, there's hell now, and there's hell forever. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Who has the keys of death and hell? Jesus Christ himself has the keys. Thank God. He is absolutely trustworthy. He has the keys of death and hell. Now, after Jesus Christ comes and the church is caught up, there's going to be the coming back of Jesus Christ with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. And then there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. After, of course, the devil is going to be shut up. But then after the 1,000-year reign is over, the devil is going to be loosed. And there's going to be a tremendous rebellion. People on earth, and I believe many, many people upon earth that I believe had been living relatively good lives under the iron rod of Jesus Christ during the millennial kingdom, shall show their hypocrisy and rise up in rebellion against God, and God shall crush that rebellion. In fact, the Bible tells us, if fire shall fall from heaven, God shall crush that rebellion. The devil, which is the one that shall stir this up, the devil shall be cast into the lake of fire, and the Bible says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see that in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10. Right after that, in fact, the very next verse begins with this, "And I saw a great white throne, and sinners, unsaved sinners, shall come before the Lord and shall be judged." When the sinners come before the Lord to be judged, the books shall be opened. And I believe those record books shall be opened. And not only the record books, but I believe the books, the book, the Word of God shall be opened. We shall be judged. They shall be judged by the Word of God, just like we'll be judged by the Word of God. But they'll be judged by the Word of God. And the book of life shall be opened. I believe as far as those that are at that judgment, not one of their names shall be found in the book of life. Not one of them shall be counted worthy to enter into heaven. There shall be that judgment that takes place. Now, as far as that judgment is concerned, we might think about those that are there. Their name's not found written in the book of life. It's been searched. Their name's not been found there. Then in addition to that, they've been judged to be unworthy to go to heaven. And every one of them shall be cast into the lake of fire. I believe that the man that in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, shall be cast into the lake of fire along with a multitude of others. Revelation chapter number 20, verses 13 through 15. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." Notice that word dead. "And death and hell." Notice those two words, death and hell. "Delivered up the dead which were in them." Once again, the word dead is used. "And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now here, the Bible talks about death and hell. And remember, let's go back to this Luke 16 account. The rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I believe when the Bible talks about death here in this passage in the book of the Revelation, where it talks about death and hell, death and hell. I believe when the Bible talks about death there, it's talking about the bodies of men. And when the Bible talks about hell, it's talking about the souls of men. And we might think about, well, the rich man died, his body was buried, his soul went to hell. But I believe that God shall bring those souls and bodies together. And the bodies and souls of men united shall be cast into the lake of fire. In that scripture, the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. whosoever. What a contrast that is to the wonderful whosoever of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is not what God wants. God does not want to cast men into hell. God does not want men to go to the lake of fire. That's not what God wants. In fact, according to the Scriptures, God is not willing that any should perish. Any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. But many a rebellious sinner refuses to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've dealt with it in the past. I'm not going to get into a great amount of detail with this. But the Lord deals with a man. I think we can go to Acts chapter number 10 about Cornelius. God is well able to deal with a man and show him truths about himself. Romans chapter number 1, Romans chapter number 2. God is well able to show a man some things about himself. And then if that man will accept what God shows him, God is well able to give him more light, to bring him to the point of the gospel, and then if he receives the gospel, to save his soul. I believe that's God wants to save sinners. Jesus Christ God did not give His only begotten Son to die for our sins, to suffer so terribly, and at the same time, God didn't want men to go to hell. That's not what God wants. But for those that just simply refuse to accept Christ, for them, there is hell and the lake of fire awaiting. And so we have hell then. The man died and went to hell. We have hell now. I believe today, if a man dies in his sins, he'll go to hell. And then we have hell forever. Death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, and the torment shall go on and on. Once again, that's not the way God wanted it to be. God didn't want Adam to sin to begin with, but He did. God provided a Savior. God doesn't want men to go to hell. God works with men. God draws men so they don't have to go to hell. But many a person refuses until it is too late. The rich man was in hell then. The rich man is in hell now. And the rich man shall be in hell forever. If you will, please stand. I've got more to bring. I may just move on to the evening service, afternoon service with this. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Can we have an invitation song?